This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And it is Tuesday night. And you all know what Tuesday night is. It's one of my favorite days of the week. And why? Because I get to spend time with you. And I just love saying that. And I get really giggly and silly. But I do. I really love doing this show. And more so, I love the people that come on the show. So I just want to give you an update, like my weekend. So this weekend, Sunday, I spent like 4 hours doing karaoke in my living room. Literally, I have that on the top of my voice. I have this karaoke device that it's a microphone. I got it from T-Mobile, and you attach your phone to it, so all the songs come up, the words come up, so you really think that you're on stage and you really think you're doing something, because I really thought I was doing something. I was singing on the top of my lungs, call myself cleaning up my apartment and singing karaoke, and I just had the most fun.
You were practicing.
Yeah, I just had a really great time. It was really it's just really fun. So I did that. And I actually went out on a date. Really nice man. I have to be careful what I say because he could be listening. He's a nice guy, but we're just not compatible. I met this man on Tinder. I actually met 20 men on Tinder. Ooh. And let me tell you, that Tinder stuff, if you're like looking for a man or trying to go out and date, it's a lot of work, right? Because not only do you have to like, you know, you have to look at their pictures and you have to like, you know, you have to click. And if they click you, then this thing comes up and you're both together, like swinging around like this on the Tinder page. And and then you have to say hello. And it's like, it can be a series of hello, 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 hello. And everything is written. It's a text, right? And then it's like, you're writing and I suck at doing text because I just really, you know, I'm really bad at doing text, right? So I write things and they're like, what are you talking about? What are you saying? Right? So what I said is like, just call me, you know, we could talk. I'm not really good at the texting thing and we talk. So anyway, this one guy sends me a text and he's like, I haven't even said hello yet. But he's like, I want to massage your feet. I said, we haven't even said hello, right? So I said, it's a little weird, don't you think? So he writes back, because I'm really sorry. Was that weird? I'm like, yeah, we haven't said hello and you want to start touching my feet already. Can we even, you know, can we just like say hello, see if we get along, go out on a date, do a couple of dates and you can touch my feet. But to just want to touch my feet off the bat, that's just not cool. Then the worst one was this guy. He was a police officer, right? So he's a retired police officer. He's been retired 20 years. He joined the force when he was 20. He did his thing in the 80s and he retired. So his thing, he was really cocky. He goes, I'm 6'1". I'm really good looking. I'm hung like a horse. And I was like, well, goddamn, I don't want a horse, right? And then he says, and I'm economically viable. I have, you know, and you know what women's problems are? They don't know what to do with me.
Well, the fact that he just said women's problems, I'd
right.
like to know.
I know, right?
You've responded
so I was like,
to
so
that.
I said to him, so women's problems. I said, they don't know what to do with you. I'd like to hear more about that. So anyway, we decided that we were going to call and he calls me up and he says to me, we were talking and we were, you know, like when you go on Tinder, you have to ask questions. How old are you? Were you married? Do you have children? Because you want to find out these things. Do you like pets? Are you a killer? You know, have you chopped anybody's heads off lately? You know, you want to know all this stuff, right? And so he says to me, no, I'm not married. You know, he has two children. I said, oh, were you married? He goes, no, I wasn't married. I've never been married. I said, oh, okay. I said, and the next question is, why is that? And so he says, well, why do you have to ask, why is that? And I says, well, it's just a question. You don't have to answer it. Just asking a question. He goes, no, I haven't been married because I've never met anybody I'm in love with. But you got two children. How is that possible? So he said, well, have you been married? I said, yes, I was married for 12 years. And he goes, you see, that's why I didn't want to be married because, and he got really angry. Right? He's like, he said, yes, I've been married and that's, no, I wasn't married and that's why I didn't get married because I didn't fall in love with anybody and I didn't want to marry somebody because then I'll have to get divorced and I didn't want to get divorced, so that's why I didn't get married. And I said, okay, And he says, give me a minute. I'm going to the cash machine to get some money. And I think I said something about, oh, that's really sad that you didn't get married because you said that you're a really good catch. So he says to me, do you want to talk or do you want to debate? And I says, I thought I was talking. Sounds like you're debating to me. Look, if you're going to debate, I said, you know what? I think I better hang up. And before I could say, he hung up the phone. I'm like, psycho. Policemen, look, they do their duties, some of them, but they're scary. Another one, he wants to be a dom. He wants to dominate me, right? So he goes, how are you doing today? I said, I'm fine. He says, good girl. And I said, now I think that you should sort of pat me on my head because the good, he goes, do you like being called a good girl? I said, only if it comes with a pat on the head. So it's like, I'm like, really? It is a lot of work out there. Anyway, tonight's show, let's just move on.
Yes, let's move on.
Let's just move on because I could talk. That's a whole nother show, this like dating thing, right? So tonight my show is with Jean Criss. C-R-I-S-S.
That's correct.
Right. Jean Criss. And Jean is the founder of Intimate Apparel, which intimate...
Crisscross
Intimate Apparel, right? Which is a patented...
Yes, it's utility patented intimate apparel for women and men, uh-huh. And it's post-surgical undergarments.
Oh, for men as well?
Yes.
Oh, we've got to talk more about that.
Okay.
Because I was thinking that it was more for women. So Jean is a breast cancer survivor, and she's an amazing entrepreneur. But why I say that Jean is an amazing entrepreneur is because this woman, when she was in a hospital after her surgery... most people would be sitting there going, I'm in pain. No, not this one. She's there designing bras and intimate apparel, right? Bras and underwear. And like trying to figure out how she could fit or fill a need that we basically don't even know what we wanted, right? That right. was wanted.
Yeah.
So I just like to introduce her. So we're going to have a mashup about her a survival, her design, her creativity, and all this. She's extraordinary. She is not an ordinary person. She's an extraordinary woman because no one who is going through, or very few, I would say very few, a modicum of people, tiny, tiny, tiny part of people would actually be in their hospital bed after surgery designing intimate apparel. She's also going to tell you some of the stuff that she did. This woman is amazing. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noreen.
Thank you.
Exciting to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Grosse Pointe Shores, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up there. I moved to... Hi.
Michigan in the house.
Yes, hi. I know some of my friends are in Facebook Live, and uh-huh. I said hello to them. Yes, I grew up in Michigan. I went to school there, and then I was transferred from Michigan to Boston uh-huh. with one of my first jobs. Uh-huh. And from Boston, I moved to Rhode Island. From Rhode Island, I transferred out to New Jersey
right.
and have been working in the New York area.
So let me just turn my phone off. I've just got interruption from the little rabbit. Who? Okay.
Okay. So that's where I grew up, and now I'm here.
How long have you been in New Jersey?
Yes, I've been in New Jersey, I don't know, about 14, 15 years.
Oh, not too long.
Yeah, well, that's long.
Is
yeah.
that like from Michigan to New Jersey?
No, so I went to Boston mm-hmm. for 8 years, and then I went to Rhode Island for 8 years, and mm-hmm. I've been here.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
So which city do you like the best?
I actually like it here most.
That's right.
Yes.
Because it rocks here. All right. So tell me a little bit about what did you do prior to your found entrepreneurism?
Yes. So I was in the corporate workplace.
Mm-hmm,
like a lot of us. I started in media and mm-hmm. technology. Mm-hmm. So I worked for a couple of media companies, a couple of technology companies, publishing companies, and it brought me to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I have since, you know, stayed in that field. And after I moved to New Jersey is when I started my own business. Okay. I first started Jean Chris Media as my first media agency.
And that's after you left corporate?
That's after I've left corporate.
So I always wonder, like, for me, leaving corporate was, like, you know, leaving corporate and leaving doing jobs for other people was one of the best things that I ever did. Why? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this is when you work on your own, you grow in so many different ways, and you grow in ways that you wouldn't even possibly know you could. What was your experience?
Yes. Well, you know, I had been thinking about it for a while. While I was in corporate, I actually ran one of my own businesses while I was in the television business. Mm-hmm. I started my own jewelry business mm-hmm. for about 7 years, and I managed it on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So I created jewelry while I was going through a divorce, mm-hmm. and it was called Beaded Baubles. And it was
Beaded Baubles?
Baubles.
Okay, cool.
And it was costume jewelry, and I really just did it as therapy mm-hmm. in the evenings, into the late hours, into the weekends, and people liked what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was when the Swarovski crystals were very popular nice. Yeah. and so forth. So I would make women earrings and bracelets and so forth, mm-hmm. and I would have home shows and trunk shows and so forth.
Oh, cool.
And then I started to branch out and have, you know, do some events and festivals and so and things like that.
Right.
And I actually ended up having a shop that sold my jewelry for about 7 years.
Nice.
And I pretty much stocked it on the weekends. And it was ironic because I closed it about 3 weeks before, just coincidentally, before I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
And we're going to hold that thought.
I felt like that was an omen.
Come right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo! What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Yes, it is your show.
So this is Noreen Sumter, and we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So you closed the shop 3 weeks, and then what happened?
Then I went on a family vacation. We had mm-hmm. been planning a family vacation with my family in Michigan for a number of years, and we finally went up to Bay Harbor, Michigan, mm-hmm. and had a lovely vacation. And I was sitting by the poolside with my kids, mm-hmm. and I got a phone call. I had just had my annual mammogram. And they said, Jean, you need to come back in. And I said, what are you talking about? And, you know, they said, well, we found something, and when are you coming back?
Right.
And they made it seem very urgent. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to be back for another week or two. And they said, well, you need to really schedule this and get here as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it, and, you know, it was funny because we got into some details, and they said, you know, we found a lump, and we, you know, it's, I think they had said it was on my right side. And I said, no, I think you have the x-rays upside down. I think you might be viewing it, it's on the left side, because I had always had a cyst on my left side of my breast that was being monitored for years and years. And they said, no, we have it right, and you need to come back in and have this checked out. And the ironic part was that I was having sonograms and mammograms for like every 6 months, just being monitored.
Do you fibrous breasts?
After having my children, I was getting a lot of cysts.
See, I have fibrous breasts. And so
I don't have those anymore. Anyway, so I went back in and they showed me the x-rays. They re-examined me and did, you know, new digital films and so forth. And there was a lot of salt and pepper, what I call salt and pepper, all these white spots on the films. And, you know, the radiologist was very kind and comforting and brought me into a private room. And when she showed me these films, I was like, you know, what am I looking at here? You know, I said, it looks like salt and pepper on this black and white. And she said, you have bilateral breast cancer. And I couldn't believe it because I had just been there 6 months before. Nothing was
detected.
And so, you know, it was a hard thing to swallow. So that's when my journey began.
Is there any way that they can give that information in a way that, I don't know, is like, less shocking? Is I don't know. I'm trying.
You know, she was the best. Right. She was the best. This radiologist was so great. She was in, you know, in my town where I see my doctors, and she actually we became very good friends. And she actually had me come to her home because she was so devastated with what I was going through, and that she couldn't believe that I chose to have a bilateral lumpectomy at the time because it was unheard of for this low stage of cancer that I had, that I don't know, she was showing me her x-rays and her level of her basement, and you know, she was really helping me through the journey. Everyone suggested that I should have a bilateral mastectomy from the get-go, but I was the one who said no, because it was stage zero and stage one bilateral breast cancer. So I thought it was so small and non-invasive that, you know, I should just have lumpectomy. And I went through that procedure. It was very difficult even for the radiologist to perform bilateral radiation on both breasts after I had the lumpectomies, that they had never done that before. But after I started to go through that, I became allergic to radiation. I have a lot of allergies, and my skin was allergic to radiation.
Did your skin color change?
It wasn't just the color, it was the pain and the severity of the rash and the pain.
My sister had breast cancer, and literally, I mean, she's black, but she went black like a frying pan.
It went red like a hot tamale.
Yeah.
It went the opposite, so.
Well, I would be surprised if my sister went red like a hot tamale.
And it was just very painful, and I couldn't tolerate it. And so I called my breast surgeon back, and I said, what do I do? It was, I think, 7 days on one side and 15 days on the other. And he said, you have to come back in, and we have to talk about having a bilateral mastectomy. And I had already been through, I think, 7 surgeries at that time over 3 months, and it was, you know, very difficult.
7 surgeries over 3 months.
Yeah. They do the needle biopsies and they do the, you know, the lumpectomy one at a time. And it was a lot of surgeries. And I did them over the weekend so that I can continue with work.
My sister did a lot of radiation and chemo. And finally, you know, the doctor said you have to. And she was like, hell to the no, I'm not doing it anymore. If I die, too bad. And she happened to bump into somebody that helped her. She took on diet. She changed her diet. My sister is a brand new woman. Before, she could barely talk.
That's fabulous.
She could barely talk. Yeah. She was weak. My sister is, well, she's not as big as me, but, you know, my size. And she went down to, like, a bone. And now she says, oh, I have to get bigger skirts because she's put on weight. And, you know, she just feels so much better. But she's not doing, she says, I'm not doing any more of that stuff anymore. Because it's kind of like what I think it's like killing one thing to cure another thing. You know what I mean? And so go
well,
on
if
with
anything that I've learned is you need to, you know, learn and manage your own health.
Yes.
And I have done that through the whole process. Mm-hmm. So I made a lot of decisions that I think my physicians weren't pleased with. Mm-hmm. I chose not to have chemo. Mm-hmm. They were recommending that I did. And it's so funny. I think just a couple days ago, it was recommended on television, mm-hmm. national television, that chemo is not recommended for a low level of breast cancer.
Right.
And I was one of those patients 10 years ago.
Right.
I had the OncoDX tests, and I had all of the tests that my next door neighbor was an oncologist. Mm-hmm. I saw multiple oncologists. I had them look at my tests. And because of tradition, it was being recommended that mm-hmm. I have chemo. However, my stats were recommending that it wasn't required.
Right.
And I said, so why should I go through it? It's actually harmful if I have it.
Right.
And so I did my own research, and I didn't have it, and I chose the drug therapy instead. And I'm glad I chose what I did.
Good. Good yeah. for you. So you took yeah. on your own health and well-being.
I did.
Now, so take us to the day that you're in the hospital. And you start creating.
Yeah.
I want to.
So Noreen and I had a chance to talk yes. before the show, and I started telling her about some of my innovations. And
I want you to tell them the story about like being in the hospital in this sterile environment and all the hiccups that you saw.
Yeah.
She's
so
creating.
I also got MRSA. I had my, after I had a bilateral breast cancer, bilateral mastectomy, I had my implants replaced 4 times, which we didn't get into, but it was over an 18-month period. During that time, I got MRSA. So
MRSA is?
MRSA is a bacterial eating...
flesh-eating disorder.
Flesh-eating disorder.
That is usually in hospitals,
and
right?
And it traveled from one breast to the other, and I got it from being open in the OR room, and it was eating my tissue alive through my skin and mm-hmm. through my system. So if it's not detected within 24 hours, you can die. So
right.
I quickly was, you know, put into an isolation ward for 10 days. And it was devastating for me because I'm a very outgoing person. I'm used to working, very busy, active life with my family. And at the time when I had my breast cancer, my children were very young. At the time, they were 7 and 10. And to be without my children was hard. And just to be without work, my team that I was managing, et cetera.
Your life.
My whole life.
Yeah.
So I don't remember if... I probably had, you know, my family or someone bring my laptop in.
Sneak it in. Tell the truth.
Because, yeah, I went to the ER room, you know, very quickly. And I hacked through the Wi-Fi at the hospital. And that was before mobile hotspots were available. I don't even know how I did it, but I did.
Uh-huh.
And I got on the internet. And, you know, I was submitting to my management my Q4 financial numbers and business plans. And I was just keeping busy mm-hmm. to keep my mind active because mm-hmm. it was going nuts. And then I started journaling, you know, what I was experiencing because I'd already been through now, I don't even know how many surgeries. The end process was I ended up having 13 surgeries, but at this point it was maybe 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? And, you know, every doctor that kept coming in was saying, Jean, you're 1 in a million. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. You
right.
know, I don't want to hear that I'm 1 in a million patients, that this is, you know, happening why it's happening to me. Just fix it and have it stop.
Right.
So here I'm in the isolation ward, and the doctors couldn't come in without being totally in right. their gown and garb, without, you know, there's the big signs on the door. Nobody can enter. Family
sterile
can't
area.
Visit you. Sterile. Nobody can come and see you. So then all of a sudden, you know, the maintenance guy comes in. And, you know, they're collecting my urine and in a bucket and over the commode and, you know, testing it every so many hours. And he's fixing the air conditioning vent. And he's coming in and I'm watching what's going on. And I'm thinking, okay, how sterile is this?
Right.
And he leaves and I'm like, well, who do I tell this to? And then I see the people come in who serve you your food. And they come in and they don't have any gowns on and they're bringing trays in and out. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not a sterile environment.
Right.
And it's pseudo-sterile. So easy, pseudo-sterile. You know, the physicians are taking it seriously and the nurses.
That's where they get the big money.
You know, big money. And it just was crazy. And right. So then I just started to document my experiences. I thought, this is just kind of crazy. This mm-hmm. is a crazy story, a crazy situation. And by this time, I've got maybe, you know, 50 doctors that I've seen through multiple hospitals that I've been to at this point through my life. And it was just over a period of 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And I wore many uncomfortable, ugly bras. Mm-hmm. And I really, really hated what I had to experience. So I wanted to change that.
A lot of women say things like they don't feel feminine, they don't feel like women anymore. It's just...
It was awful. So I ended up, before we go to break, I just want to say, I ended up wearing bras that had zippers and it were very tight, and I ended up cutting them and making them so they would be comfortable. I sewed sponges to the bottom so right. that they would fit and be comfortable where my incisions were. And by this time, I had so many incisions under my breasts, around my breasts, that I was so uncomfortable that, you know, nothing could make me feel more comfortable.
Right.
So I started to just, you know, I sewed. I think, you know, women my age took sewing classes when
sure
we were
did.
Younger.
And I had to wear styles. My daddy wouldn't let me buy clothes every
week.
So
I figured out how to, you know, sew sponges on these bras, and they were just so uncomfortable. And I would buy the larger sizes and my doctors would oppose it. And I said, listen, I can't breathe in the sizes that you were providing me. So anyway, I did
it's
a
funny,
lot of things
like,
against
were most of your doctors
wanted.
Men?
Yes.
Right. And that's the thing. Like we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about men doctors a little bit. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Anyway, so we are back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And today we are with entrepreneur, writer, just an all-time amazing, extraordinary woman who has created intimate apparel for women that are women and men that have experienced. Have you wore the underpants? The men's ones, probably.
Of course.
So you're going to tell us about the bra.
Yeah, yes. So fast forward to my innovation. Mm-hmm. So I was in the hospital bed so long that I started just put pen to paper right. and started sketching what I would like to envision myself and other women and men to wear mm-hmm. Through this experience because I didn't like what I had to wear.
Right.
So I wore so many different styles and brands of bras that I didn't care for. So that's what I did. And I actually took a picture from the internet of a mannequin mm-hmm. and I sketched over that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started to, you know, design what I would like to see. And then from there, it just kind of grew and I, you know, designed additional images.
Most of you are probably wondering, are we going to pull out a bra right now? Well, unfortunately, we are not.
No, I have a brochure.
But what you can do is website.
Yes, you can go to crisscrossintimates.com and take a look at the collection. And you can take a look at crisscrossintimates.com/lookbook. And you can see many of the designs right there.
Right. So now I have a question that's like brewing in my head. You said men's apparel.
Yes. Like, so Father's Day is coming up. And
But I want to know about like, because mm-hmm. have you got bras for men?
No.
Oh, because men do get breast cancer.
Come on. You've seen the Seinfeld show, I know, haven't you? But you know, the man's year. I'm not making...
Men's year. That's men's right. Year. Actually, I remember
yeah,
that.
No, I'm not making that. I'm making men's vests.
Okay.
Men need to have compression vests because men, 1 in 1,000 men in the U.S. have breast cancer.
1 in 1,000 men?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And even if it's not breast cancer, they may have some type of post-op breast surgery. Mm-hmm. And they may need that medical drain that you are fitted with after you have post-op breast surgery. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, you need some type of a breast compression vest, a garment, to help you with the compression.
Good. I'm glad you cleared that up for me because I just had visions of men in bras.
So I designed with the same fabric uh-huh. as the bras, a very soft, comfortable double bonded compression fabric uh-huh. that's easy to get into that holds the medical drains. One is called the Joe Vest, named after my Uncle Joe.
Okay.
And it has shoulder
straps. We got Joe
straps.
Boxer, so Joe Vest is fine.
Mm-hmm. And it has the shoulder straps. It looks just like a camisole for a man, uh-huh. you know, but it's got the Velcro coming down the front, and it's custom sized. It comes in standard sizes of medium to extra large, 2XL, and I can make custom sizes for men. Uh-huh. I really prefer to do that to fit it properly for a man. And I make the strapless, because if you want it to be discreet so that you don't see it under your shirt or whatever you might be wearing, I make that as well.
Okay. What about men that have prostate cancer? Do you make any things for that?
No, I have not.
Okay. So maybe that's something. Maybe. I mean, do they need a compression? You know, I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe they need something that would have it dangle.
But things that do need drains. And there are garments out there that do that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I want to know about, because you told me about like 10 days, you were 10 days in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You snuck your computer in. You had your kids sneaking money. Right.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that. So, you know, 10 days in the hospital, they think you're going to go without washing your hair, without, you know.
Some people probably do.
You know, and when you have breast cancer, a lot of people don't know that you're wearing a lot of these post-op tubes and medical drains by your side. And it's very challenging and difficult to take a bath and take a shower. So I was dying to have my hair washed, and they don't let you just jump in the shower. So I'm constantly talking to the nurses saying, what do I do? How can I have somebody wash my hair? They said, oh, we have a service. You know, somebody can come in and they put a tub at your bedside, you know, this little tub, and, you know, put your head back and you can have your hair washed. I'm like, fine, have them come in, you know, and it costs, you know, $20, $40, whatever it was. So I'm calling my kids, having them come to the hospital, hand the nurses the money because they couldn't come into the room. Mm-hmm. And when the person came to the room in the special garb that they could wear, they
because
could
come they weren't in. They weren't the fix and maintenance guy.
They weren't the maintenance
guy. So they had
guy.
To wear
they
the cleaning
They could come
gear.
In. They could wash my hair. And then I think I told you another story that I actually colored my hair while I was in the hospital too. You know, got to do a little maintenance.
That's
and,
right.
You know, whatever.
So you were looking stylish in that bed.
That's right. You know, you just
you got your
still
new bras
take care
that you're working
yourself.
On. See, look.
Anyway.
And it's why
do
I wrote.
What you gotta do to keep yourself going.
That's right. And that's why I wrote on even staring death or operations or any manner of atrocity or thing that could happen to you in the face, an entrepreneur is going to find the magic and they're going to find a solution in the circumstance. And I think maybe that's why you experienced what you experienced, because you're here to help the masses.
I think so. Yeah. I just didn't stop from there. And it was funny because after I designed the first bra, which is called the Nina bra, I just kept designing. After my Aunt Nina, my mom's sister. Thank you. And my aunt died of stage 4 malignant breast cancer after 9 years. Very tragic and difficult time. I said, no, I'm not just going to introduce one bra when I come out with my line for Crisscross Intimates. I want to come out with a collection that provides survivors a full solution, because what I experienced was that everything was so ugly and uncomfortable. They actually had you, you know, pin the medical dreams to, they said, oh, just wear sweatpants and pin them to your waistline. And, you know, you're given safety pins to hold these drains. And I said, well, number one, I don't wear sweatpants. Number two, you know, this is so uncomfortable because it's weighing down and pulling at your skin to hold the fluid at your waistline. So I designed a bra that would hold the drains up on top, that would hold them up on top for the men. And I designed medical pouches, and I just tried to make everything more comfortable for the survivor. So I designed pouches. I'm offering leggings, briefs. You know, you can put the pouches in the briefs. I designed thongs. Not that you can put the medical pouch in the thongs, but, you know, just a whole compliment. It looks good. It looks sexy. I tried to make the whole line.
So is it like the pouches? Is it, because I've seen underwear that have pockets.
It's a separate independent pouch that you can attach to the inside of your shirt. So when you, or your robe or whatever you're wearing, or you can put it on the inside or the outside of your pants. It's Velcro and it will stay adhered, and it's washable as well. Yeah.
Wow.
And it holds that medical drain.
Right. And so how's it been going? Like, what do you need? If you, so if you were to use this station right now, or this show right now, as an opportunity to make requests, what is it that you need that you could actually ask for?
Thanks for asking, Noreen. So I'm looking for more boutiques and stores to carry the brand to help me increase my sales. I'm looking for investors to help me so that I can introduce the additional designs that are part of my patent. When I created my utility patent, I have over 20 designs, and I've only introduced a couple of them.
Right.
So I have actually hospital gowns, medical scrubs, I have a sports bras, camisoles, a variety of other designs that I would love to introduce and manufacture. Part of, you know, what we talked about was how I enjoy innovation and creation, and the only way to do that is to continue with additional funding and to keep the line alive.
You know what just popped into my head? You know, when I always wonder this question. When you see a newborn baby and it's wrapped up in a blanket.
Yeah.
There's that universal blanket with the stripes, you know, the stripey one and
the blue.
Who manufactures that?
That I don't know.
That is a question, because that is a universal blanket. It is in every movie. It is in every Facebook post of a newborn baby.
Right.
It is in every hospital, in every town, in every hamlet across the United States. Right. So I'm like, what popped into my head was,
So you mentioned universal. Right. And, you know, so I feel like my collection, I have over 250 styles between the colors and the different styles that I've already introduced with the collection today that are part of crisscross.com. What I also thought about was, being a businesswoman and kept going back to the workplace and carrying all of my computer equipment and chargers and so forth, I created a universal mobile charger.
Right.
And it is also utility patent.
Where can they get that? Because I can't show it to you because we don't have it.
Yes, because you didn't tell me we were doing this live. But it's called Yugo Mobile.
Yugo Mobile.
Yugo Mobile. And I'm going to be introducing it this year. I actually have, let me explain it first. It's a universal charger that will extend into, it's a 110 outlet that will have a 36-inch cord and plug into any universal mobile device, iPhone, Android, etc., smart device. And so you can eliminate all of the garb that you carry with you, all of the chargers, the cords, and so forth, and have a very small pocket charger to carry in your pocket. So right. wherever you go, you take you go.
Cool.
Yes.
So, like, back to the, I'm stuck on that, though. I'm stuck on the blanket people. Because if you can find out who these blanket people are,
yeah.
I'm thinking that maybe you could give a proposal to them, because they're everywhere, right? And so that means they're probably making these blankets, marketing these blankets, and they have a boatload of money because they're everywhere. So I would find out who they are and what, you know, that's what just popped into my head.
Well, thank
and you know, and we think of like the divine hitting us and pulling things down, because this is where this
There's
stuff
comes
from.
There's a lot of companies out there.
Absolutely.
Yes, to partner with.
So now you have three books here. You're also a writer. Did you write these on your hospital bed?
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
But not at the same time, but afterwards, you know, I came up with the idea. This was actually one big book, and it was recommended to me to kind of break them down.
So tell us about the book. Oh, go ahead. Introduce the books, and then we'll come back.
So this is my Pain Woke Me Up trilogy. I'll introduce it with a little bookmarker.
Okay.
My Pain Woke Me Up was because my pain literally and physically woke me up. The pain of going through breast cancer and everything else I endured. And I wrote about a couple different things that I experienced in my life. So I'll tell you about that after the break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
This is Noreen Sumter, and we're back from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we're with Jean Chris, who is Chris Cross Intimate Apparel. I knew I would mess up. Go ahead. So tell us, we were talking about your books.
My books, yes. So my my first business that I had launched after I left the corporate
Which was the
bubbles? Jean Chris Media, yes.
Oh, Jean
and I created, my first book was, I published My Pain Woke Me Up Bliss, which is my book about survivorship as a widow.
You're going to see it back to front.
Yes. And then my survivorship through breast cancer. And
oh,
then,
you were a widow?
Yes.
Oh.
At 28.
Hmm.
And continued on with my life.
Absolutely.
And moving on to a couple different states and, you know, just pushing forward through my career.
And with two children?
Two children were with my second husband.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then I wrote my second husband. I ended up divorcing, and I ended up going through a very bad experience through the legal system through the state of New Jersey. And I wrote a book called My Pain Woke Me Up. Legal Injustice. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a comical book about my experience going through divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I just want to see if you've got any jokes in it.
Of course I do.
Okay.
So, I was telling Noreen earlier that...
Okay. So this is a good one.
Okay.
So she has jokes in her book, as you can see here, if you can see it. Right, if you can't see it, buy the book. Mm-hmm. Right, and it says, then it's agreed. Bob gets the car, Donna gets a house and all the other property, and house and all the other properties go to the winner of the game of rock, paper, scissors. That's crazy. But that's about the size of it, right?
Right.
Let's see. I got divorced, but I just split everything down the middle. Wow, I thought, cash up front, please. Are you sure? They sure are shrewd indeed. Wonder how much he has. Oh, so this is like a woman meeting a man prior to getting. But now it can also be the other way. It can be a man meeting a woman and going, how much does she have? Well, I have nothing.
That's really funny because after I introduced the book, my plastic surgeon called me and said, you know, Jean, you kind of wrote this with a slant towards women. He said, you know, I happen to be going through a divorce and I really love what you wrote, but you should have written it more generically for men, too. And I said, you know, you have a really good point. I said, I'll think about that when I write my next edition.
Well, you can re-edit this one.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, and then the next one I wrote as I was moving on in my career about living your dreams and more about what I was doing in entrepreneurship. And so this is when I was starting to design the intimate apparel and doing other things, designing the mobile device and how you put your ideas into play and you go through a process of, I took classes. I took, you know, a lot of entrepreneur venture procedures that I learned about, you know, incubator process and so forth, that how do you put your ideas into play and see them through? So many entrepreneurs don't see their ideas through and they stop because they get scared or whatever the reason might be, or they come up with the idea and they don't know, they're kind of stuck and they don't know how to push forward and to see it through from A to Z. And so
Sometimes they think they're going to look stupid.
And, you know, I was able to do that with many products, from my books to my intimate apparel to the mobile device. And I love doing that. And so that's what I'm doing now. And I love doing that for clients, too, to put ideas through from beginning to end. And so that's what
so
I do.
So I want you to share with the audience, because how you get this, you know, like when you get an idea, it happens when for you?
Well, sometimes I get ideas in the middle of the night and I don't sleep.
Like 2 a.m.
2 a.m. And so I might take a piece
of paper. Not you might, you get up.
I do get up and I write them down. And whether it be I turn to the side of my bed where my phone is charging and I might send myself a little note and jot it down. And then in the morning I will act on it. Or I'll jot it down on a sheet of paper, or I may get up and work on it. One of the things about being single, I can do that right now. But, you know, it all depends on what that idea is.
Can I give you a tip?
Yes.
So I purchased Alexa, right? So with Alexa, you can just wake up and go, Alexa, remind me to do X, Y, and Z. Right? Like you can give her your idea and she'll say, when would you like to do that? And then you put it in. So it's like, if you get an idea, you just wake up, Alexa, pop in, you know, I need to go gather eggs from the chicken down the street. And she'll put it down ask you when you,
so
and
I just
it's
want
so
one
much.
Of those devices and I haven't connected it.
These, I tell you what, I love Alexa.
That's great.
I love it. It's like a buddy. It's like, Alexa, what time is it? Alexa, can you give me 15 minutes on the clock, please? And Alexa, and then you say, Alexa, do you love me? She goes, I don't know that one. It's really, really good.
So, you know, it's important, though, I think, to write down your ideas because you do tend to forget. And it's important to write down the detail of it.
Absolutely.
Because... You know, that's where the creativity
And lies. It's also important to have accountability, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have an accountability buddy that I've literally had now for about 12 years, and I didn't know it was 12 years. 5:30 in the morning, we take it. She calls me 1 week. I call her 1 week. And then we tell each other what we're going to do for the day. Mm. And we've been doing, it's just been like, you know, easy. When I met her and she said she wanted to do it at 5:30 in the morning, I thought she was absolutely nuts. Uh-huh. I was like, I'm not a morning person, but you know what? I've been doing it for 11 years every morning, and it's pretty amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, she's moving to Germany, but we're still going to do it because we're going to work it out. Yeah. So, okay. Anything else about the books?
No, that's it. So they're available on both my websites, jeanchrismedia.com or on Crisscross.
And tell us about the Emmy thing.
Yes. So I was just recently I have a blog that I write weekly. I'm a columnist for a couple of magazines.
Nice.
And one of my articles was picked up, and I was invited to the MTV Awards, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Academy Awards. So I am opting out of the MTV Awards.
Look at you. She's getting all shy like.
Yeah, but I'm going to participate in the fall in September for the Emmys. Uh-huh. And it's going to be an exciting time. Uh-huh. I will be participating in the gift bag with all of the nominees and providing them a gift of my choice, whether it be my books or my intimate apparel or whatever. And then also participating in a red carpet lounge opportunity where I can personally meet and greet all of the celebrities that come to the event. We'll walk by an exclusive 20 sponsors, and the media have photo opportunities with them, and so forth. Yeah,
I think that you should, this is just my thought, I think that you should, if you're not going to give away intimate apparel, you should put something in the bag that, you know, can have them know about it, because I'm sure there are a lot of celebrities that have experienced or have family members that have experienced this kind of stuff.
So if it's not for themselves, it can help someone else. Right.
Absolutely. And the same with anybody that's listening or listening now or listening later. They can do that too. And we also have listeners in Japan, China, Taiwan, Brazil, Czech Republic, Mongolia, Guatemala, Germany, UK, what's up, mates? Japan, and of course, the United States. So any of these people that are online in any of those foreign countries or other countries, give them your email addresses again, and they can reach out.
Yes. So they can reach me at info@crisscrossintimates.com or info@jeanchrismedia.com. My products are available international as well.
So question, what are you loving about your life right now? Mm-hmm. And how do you look at life?
I love what I do. Mm-hmm. I like not having the structure of corporate. Mm-hmm. I like having the structure of just being able to do what I love. Mm-hmm. And what's most challenging is, you know, resources and being able to do it all. Mm-hmm. You know, every day is a different day. Some days I do more of one thing than another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm looking forward to my businesses growing where I can have a team help me because I do need more help.
Right. Support.
Yes, exactly.
I love my life, and I love what I'm doing, and I love the freedom that being an entrepreneur gives me. And I love the days when I just don't want to do a goddamn thing. And I just, like today, I just wanted to mess around in my apartment, and I actually wanted to go play paddleball. Right. But I didn't get I really wanted to go play paddleball, and I'm going to go play paddleball this week.
Okay.
Right. Because it's important to actually live the life you love and love the life you live. And not only that, you have to take time out to play, and our best time, we can work. But I think it's really important that we take time out of our week to play. Just because it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday doesn't mean that we have to be stuck at our desk doing work. What that means is, I could go play paddleball for an hour and then come back refreshed, you know, creative, and do my work. So it is almost the end of the show. It is the end of the show, isn't it? We've got 1 minute. So would you like to do your email, your address again so that people can reach you?
So my websites are crisscrossintimates.com and jeanchrismedia.com. And I look forward to hearing from you if you want to share your experiences or, you know, provide me a review on my books or my intimate apparel. I'd love you to shop the collection. We have some promotions going on right now for Father's Day, but we always have promotions going on for, you know, the intimate apparel line. If you're interested in becoming a retailer, please contact me. And my contact is info@crisscrossintimates.com.
So I just want to thank you for coming on the show. It was great. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
I have, yes.
Great. Thank you. It's all about the fun.
Yes.
So this is Noreen Sumter, and I am signing off. And I will see you next week on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Bye. Jazz hands.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics, including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.